I catch my first whiff of aviation fuel boarding a 737. It's the summer of 73. I am barely 15. Everything seems possible. Monsieur's white Renault sprints between traffic lights along tree-lined cobbled streets. No English is spoken. We access the first-floor apartment through a quiet courtyard. Madame, short-haired, spectacled, wears a dark skirt and cardigan. She is rattling away on the telephone to the school principal because her son has just been expelled. I am offered tea in a china bowl. Gradually, I immerse myself in this strange stage set of rich velvet and old furniture. After a few days, Madame asks me a question about her son, who sleeps in the same room as me, never looks me in the eye, keeps a snake in a box under his bed, and hardly speaks. Est-ce que tu penses qu'il est normal? Oui, I venture weakly, not knowing how to respond. Sometimes Madame is maudlin, plays her cello. I watch how she must hold the instrument to make the hollow, plaintive sound. Everything is possible. Madame says her favourite writer is Victor Hugo. She forbids all English, even the dictionary, shows me how to recognise Louis XIV's furniture, teaches me a poem by Paul Verlaine. In the poem, a man looks out the window of his prison cell to a clear blue sky. A bird moves in a tree. Branches move in the wind. A bell gently tolls. The man asks, "What has happened to my youth?" Monsieur is short and solid. In the evenings he returns and holds out his hand. Madame puts money in his palm, but does not embrace him or ruffle his short hair. He comes back with beer and gitane, opens the cupboard where they hide the television. I memorise the theme tune of the TV soap. Cupboard closed, déjeuner is an endless series of courses. Vin de table, heavily diluted, then a card game, Le Barbu. There is a chateau nearby with a long terrace overlooking the city. Madame conducts picnics in the forest beside the chateau. I gorge on apricots and peaches. French words slip from my lips. On Bastille Day, they are excited. Monsieur flings petards down laneways and between parked cars. We watch the fireworks begin in the city centre and loom ever nearer until it is the turn of Saint-Germain-en-Laye to explode. One Saturday, Monsieur takes me to a brocante antique shop. I find a painting. Monsieur tells the dealer it will be a present for the Irish boy's maman. My heart swells at the mention of my mother. Monsieur haggles, and I get it for a song. The painting is a view of Paris rooftops and churches. There is an airship circumventing the Tour Eiffel and an inscription from the artist to Santos Dumont, who is the airship pilot. Everybody knows Dumont is the father of French aviation. Everything is possible. Monsieur is obsessed. He mounts the painting on an easel in his bedroom, cleans it every night with pieces of rolled-up bread, makes measurements, draws tangents, works out precisely where in Montmartre the work was painted, takes me there. We take a photograph, note which buildings did not survive the war. We go to a library, research the artist, Paul Franz Namur. I sense this is something important. I imagine the painting in the National Gallery in Dublin. By now I have been to the Louvre and the Georges Pompidou. I see my mother giving a lecture on the pioneers of French flight. She is radiant in an elegant Parisian dress. Everyone is applauding, smiling. Everything is possible. I know Monsieur will not want to part with the painting. Every evening as I pass their bedroom, I see him before the easel. One night I am shocked to see Monsieur naked, tangled in sheets, snoring loudly. I've never seen my father like this. But I just can't keep a secret. I write to my mother on flimsy airmail paper, tell her I'm bringing home a treasure. I write par avion on the envelope. My mother passed away 3 years ago. The painting hangs in my home. Going through her keepsakes, I find an airmail letter dated 16th of July, 1973. I gaze at Santos Dumont's dirigible circumventing the Tour Eiffel, reflect on a life where everything was possible.